Call 911 Bigfoot help.
Calling 911 Bigfoot help.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, Wyman.
How you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for your patience, and this will be good.
Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about podcasting, and there's some things about it we could talk about. One thing is, would it be 911 Bigfoot help on my podcast, and I'm interviewing, or a 911 Bigfoot help podcast, and I'm facilitating?
And you're what?
Facilitating. Because we could put a plug-in in your website that would be a place where we could upload a podcast.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So do we want me to be like Sasquatch Chronicles and interview you a lot? Or you have one that's your own name and I upload it on your side? And we talk like this, and I'm the facilitator, and you're the one answering all the questions and discussing things.
That sounds like a good idea. If I would try to do myself on my own and then do a different one with you for yours.
Now, other podcasters, when they are together in a session, it's called a crossover. And then they just take it and put it on each other's podcast anyway. They might give it a different name, but it's the exact same thing. That's called a crossover. So if it's on your side, on my side, I could call it a crossover episode with Wyman of 911 Bigfoot Help.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Think about the name. I just assumed it would be 911 Bigfoot help. What I'm calling my podcast is Bigfoot Eruption Presents. Now my wife says, okay, I'm going to call her the co-owner. The co-owner says, nah, that doesn't sound right. But I like saying Bigfoot Eruption Presents Heidi from Corvallis, Oregon, sharing about her paranormal journey. Or Bigfoot Eruption Presents Judy from Sweet Home, Oregon, talking about her life with getting to know a Sasquatch family. Bigfoot Eruption Presents 911 Bigfoot Help as Wyman shares about tree breaks. So listen to this. Listen to this. 911 Bigfoot Help presents Wyman sharing about Bigfoot tree breaks. I'm just brainstorming here.
Yeah.
So think about that. Think about if I upload it as a podcast that uploads into your side, that actually creates more content. Like we have another source. Like we have our own coaching tree. Have you heard that term in football?
No.
Well, coaches have coaches under them, and they get better, and they move on and coach other teams. That's called a coaching tree. You're a really good coach if you have coaches that were once under you that are now out there coaching their own teams.
Mm-hmm.
So think about the name. Think about if it should be in your side, and if I have to get a plan for if I pass away.
Let me ask you a question or two about, what's her name, Judy?
Yes.
Number one, does she feed those goats? I mean, those Sasquatch?
No, we talked about that, and she said, like we've heard before, no, because when you stop doing it, they're gonna be mad. They're going to get used to it. They're not going to understand that. She says they're actually highly acute autistic. And she told me this because I asked her in a text, So what is the Sasquatch clan doing for Mother's Day? Do they care? And she said, they're so highly autistic, functional autistic, that they don't give much of a hoot for what we do or our traditions. So check that out. They have their own life, their own structure, families that belong to a clan, clans that communicate with other clans. I was amazed at this kind of information.
So she thinks they're kind of self-centered, huh?
Clans are self-sufficient.
Huh. Well, the female's got to take care of babies and stuff. So does the male collect deer and bring them home and let her feed?
Yes, it's a structure like that, like having jobs. And that's a good question I should ask her. What are some of the female jobs? This particular Sasquatch, I'm trying really hard to call them Sasquatch, which is a whole different discussion. They don't like being called Bigfoot. So it's like they don't care about our traditions because they're so acutely, their brain just thinks so differently than ours.
Yeah.
But they care enough that they don't like the term Bigfoot. I thought that was interesting. So yeah, they have their jobs. Interesting. They get to pick a human name, like Tinker, like Avery. And yet the juvenile gets to pick a human name too, but not yet, not till he's a teenager. So they allow Judy to reference that as Junior. And they have Indian names. The Indian names they will not share. Wow, this is interesting stuff. Holy cow. Oh, and I've got big news. She's a sensitive, which is just basically Bigfoot can talk to her brain. So I wonder, is she truly a sensitive, or did the Bigfoot people pick her? And she says that this Tinker has chosen her, tagged her a while ago, and doesn't tell her everything, but comes around to protect from Dogman, from other stuff they don't even say. And you know how you were saying that the Bigfoot creatures haven't been around lately? Well,
how they what?
How they aren't around sometimes as much?
Yeah.
Well, in her case, that also happens. But he never says why, what's been keeping him so preoccupied. Never says why.
He's probably out looking around for females or looking around for different food sources.
It's possible they have business with the other tribes. She mentioned that tribe is the Cascades tribe. And there's the Deschutes tribe, which would be south of there. And then there's the coastal tribe. And each tribe has its own personality. One is more loving, one is more suspicious, one is more, what's the word? You know, we call juveniles this, that they are more cantankerous.
Yeah.
And the part where I asked about migrating, and she said, well, these don't migrate. They don't have to. They have food, they have water, they have shelter. And that. So what about the ones that migrate? And she said, well, if you live up in Canada with 14 feet of snow, you're going to go down south. And I said, well, what about the relationship, them coming through these areas where there's clans that are established? And she wasn't sure, but that's another dynamic.
Hmm.
Now, with Judy, back to her being a sensitive, is she truly a sensitive? I thought she was a seer. So I looked up the word seer, and that's someone that can tell the future. She is not that. So she calls herself a sensitive. Well, again, did this Bigfoot pick her and tagged her? She did use the word tagged. Chosen.
Tagged?
tagged. Like now, like a deer tag.
Oh, a tag?
Right. And he even had to get special permission to make her a part of the clan. Yeah. Now, yeah, a clan that doesn't want her to know much. And you know what? I'm taking this. I'm excited about this information. I'll be aware of being misled, not by her on purpose. But what if the Bigfoot people have their own agenda? The brain can go so many different ways with this. In fact, she had a situation where her friend, Tinker, when she was on a drive, Tinker knew where she was going, and he had a Bigfoot person do a roadside crossing just to give her a hoot. And when she gets home, she says, "Was that you?" And he said, "Yeah." That he had someone, he put someone up to it. Now, if I can say, "Hey, Judy, I'm going to be in Prineville," which is where that happened, or "I'm going to be in Cascadia," you know, wherever I'm going to be, probably within 50 miles of that area. "Hey, Judy, could you please tell Tinker I'm here at this certain location, and if he wants to send his cousin for a walk by, that'd be fine." Well, what if it happened? That especially means Judy's right about everything. Huh. I've been invited. She has a friend that's also a sensitive, which, again, I don't know if that means born special with certain DNA. Somehow God allowed you to be more sensitive, but sensitive for what? You still have to be chosen, it seems. Or did they notice she was more sensitive in this way and then chose her? Because, oh, she's more able. Maybe she uses the higher percentage of her brain, and they knew it. They picked up the wavelengths. I don't know. But because she had other experiences in her younger life, it's possible that they were checking her out, or they report back when they have these encounters with humans. Maybe they keep a list. Can you imagine life in the clan where they're discussing humans and the threats? She said a young female, a Sasquatch, was killed by hunters right there in the Cascades. And they were so upset and chose not to retaliate. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they do. This time they chose not to, even though there was great mourning. A female that looks very beautiful. Different, yeah. Tall, slender. We've heard that before, these encounters. These creatures can look very beautiful, majestic. Well, anyway, back to being a sensitive. So, your property, we feel you are being protected. And yet you do not feel tagged. You do not feel like they're communicating to you mentally. And yet they protect your property. You said once when you were in your Bigfoot area that you like to go Bigfooting over there by Gifford Pinchot, you came home and suddenly had activity. So I've been asking Judy, is that the same situation where these creatures did not follow you home? They communicated ahead somehow. "Hey, watch over Wyman." I don't know. Also, the idea of portals is very common when I talk to Judy. I asked her, how do they communicate and how far do they communicate? Do they communicate with a clan that's in the Appalachians? Can they communicate with a clan that's in the Himalayas? And the answer was quite easy. She said, well, they have portals, so probably. So then I ask, are orbs their portals? She wasn't sure, but she knows that sightings of orbs often go hand in hand.
With what?
Orbs. Orbs are often seen when there's a Bigfoot sighting.
Yeah.
So I had a hypothesis. Are these orbs the portal, and yet they cannot come out the other side of the portal until it's safe on that side? So that's why you see the orb, because the Bigfoot has not left yet. Sounds kind of far out. She wasn't sure. But how far out is far out? I mean, we're talking about creatures that protect your property that are 97% human. She gets that from Melba Ketchum. Have you heard of Melba Ketchum? There's books by Melba Ketchum. Scott Carpenter did a book about her research, about how she's found the DNA to be 97% human. Have you heard of Melba Ketchum?
Yeah.
So I asked her, what's the remaining 3%? I'm going to be thinking a lot about that 3%. And she said, well, you're going to be up all night thinking about it then. She doesn't know what it is. I would like to research more of Melba Ketchum's studies. I know the Bigfoot community has treated her horribly because they want to believe it's just a forest ape, a North American ape.
They want to believe what?
That Bigfoot isn't part human, but just an animal, an ape.
Oh, yeah.
So I was thinking about it. Humans and apes both belong to the hominida family. Humans are 3% different than apes, but humans are 100% human. Apes are 3% different than humans, but they are 100% ape. Bigfoot is 97% human, 3% unknown. We've heard that the mom's DNA is human. The dad DNA is unknown. So my big question is, again, what's that 3%? I think it's easy to say that humans are only 3% different than apes and vice versa. But that still makes us 100% human. But Bigfoot creatures are not 100% anything. They're 97% human, 3% unknown. She feels they are not Nephilim. She does feel, I said, have you asked Tinker about the origins of Bigfoot? And she said, I don't have to ask him. Have you seen the Bible? I said, yes. She said, well, there were two brothers. I said, Esau. She said, yes. Esau was hairy like a goat. Imagine that. That's a deep dive right there. How on earth did twins end up so differently? And then so differently that he has the whole group of people called the Edomites that actually didn't like Israel. And people were scared of them because they were different. And then the whole group of them leave. Some think through the Himalayas, which would explain the abominable snowman, the Yeti, and then go up over the land bridge, come to the Americas, mix DNA with Indians, because Tinker says he belongs to the Native American heritage of this country. They are not animals. They are people. However, that's a discussion. Can you be a people when you're not 100% human? So I am so curious about the family tree that Bigfoot people would be in if they're people. And we've heard they look like people. That's why most hunters don't shoot them, because they say it looks so human.
Right.
So back to you and your property. These creatures are protecting your property. I want to ask her if Tinker has heard about your property or other property. I want to ask Judy if Tinker knows about your property. Has he heard about it? Has he heard about a property in that part of the country that is being watched out over?
Is he over by Sweet Home?
Yes. Yeah. So think about that. But also, I was saying that she is a sensitive and she has a friend that is also a sensitive. And now we know that just means Bigfoot somehow can talk to their brains. So she's going to ask her friend if I can go on a fishing trip up in the Cascades where there's been a lot of Bigfoot activity lately. And I'm pretty excited about it. I'll probably take some paint and some canvas and do some painting and just wait.
What lake is it around?
What's that?
Do you know what lake it is near?
Settle Lake.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So you go up over the pass, then you're not far from Settle Lake. Beautiful area. So that might.
Do you know where the lake is?
No.
As you come over the Santiam Pass, there's one little lake. I think it's called Blue Lake or something like that.
Yes.
It's a smaller lake, and then there's Settle right there next to it.
Okay.
And in between them is a Christian camp, kind of a Christian camp where I went to a church retreat there once.
Oh, that sounds great.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's kind of a thing like that there, you know?
Yeah. I forget the name of it, but I think I know the one you're talking about. I may have been there as a youth. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that opportunity. You know, at Bigfoot Bash there in Washington, the festival, I met a man and a woman who said, "This is nothing. We have a Bigfoot family that lives in the forest in our backyard over by Stevenson."
And, over by where?
Is it called Stevens?
Yeah.
Okay. And I turned to talk to somebody who wanted to buy a t-shirt or something. And then when I looked back around, they were gone. And every year when we go, I'm looking for them. I've met people like this and lost them. Once in the Target parking lot, because I had a magnet on my car that said Bigfoot Eruption, this person walks up to me and he says, "I want to tell you about my Bigfoot experience that he was still traumatized over." We talked for a while. I said, "How can I stay in contact with you?" He said, "I work at such and such such a place in Eugene, Oregon. You can contact me there." So I tried, and the number wasn't good. So, and Judy, when I met her, she was ringing the bell for the Salvation Army at Walmart. And she saw me wearing a Bigfoot shirt. And she said, "Do you believe in Bigfoot?" I said, "I have to." And then that's when it all began. I didn't want to pressure her for any contact information. I didn't want to freak her out. I didn't want to seem too forward. So I came back the next day and I gave her like 10 business cards. I wanted her to be able to reach out to me if she wanted to. A couple days later, she still hadn't reached out to me. I was nervous. So I took a chance. She was still there. She said she was going to be there for the whole week. I walked inside and got some scratch paper from some worker. And I walked back out and I said, "If you don't mind, can I please have your phone number?" And that was fine. And each time I would do this, we would talk about Bigfoot. So her time there had ended. It turns out in November they do that for families that need to have a Thanksgiving meal. So November passed. It turns out I somehow had the wrong number. No way. I lost her again. I lost her just like I lost all the other people. Oh, no. So one night, closer to Christmas, so some time had passed, my wife or the co-owner asked me if I would go to Fred Meyer's to get one thing. Well, that's always a bummer, right? Going to the store just for one thing. But of course I did it. And guess who was ringing the bell?
No.
It was Judy. And just the very thought of it, the gift of it, gets me a tad emotional. That I actually, or God, or whatever, I thank God anyway for finding her again. And I said, hey, what's your phone number? I'm calling you right now. And the phone rang, and it was her phone. And so that's my story. Wow. I need to wear my Bigfoot shirt more often, I guess. So I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful for that. So my question is, are you a seer? And the answer is, sorry. Are you a sensitive? And the answer is no, but God does talk to you.
Yeah.
And now, Judy is very close with the Holy Spirit. And by the way, Tinker says, oh yes, Jesus is my brother. So I eventually asked her, does that mean Savior? Oh, yes, yes, yes. So these creatures, these people, it's as a, it, if we connect all the dots of information, they stay in secret. They're highly, acutely smart. Oh, do you remember reports where people said it looked like a mongoloid or a mentally handicapped person?
Well, yeah, sometimes people that turn up missing seem to have little mental in what, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so what if, I always thought it was because of the DNA mix, inbreeding, not getting enough fresh DNA when procreating, but What if they just look that way sometimes because they're autistic? And so they're not going to look at you like they would look, well, because autistic people, they are smart and they're gifted. And in their world, in their head, they're fine. Maybe they think it's us that's off a bit. So what I'm saying, maybe the autism, this acute, smart, using probably more percentage of their brain than us, so much so they think it's stupid to wear clothes. What? So, boy, I could go back and forth all over on this. I mentioned how she said they're not Nephilim.
She what?
She said she believes that Bigfoot is not the Nephilim. Now, it seems... It could seem that these people were created by God for a purpose. My mom always thought they were created by God for the end times, to be warriors. And they appear to be loving. Judy says, the mean ones, that's not very often. I said, is it because they're the ones that have gone rogue? She said, yeah, the mean ones usually are the ones that have been kicked out of the clan, which is something you and I have talked about before. So, sorry, I'm just, my mind is pinging back and forth on all these ideas. They're not Nephilim, but they're 3% unknown DNA, 97% human. And they picked Judy, but not Wyman, but they protect your property. I think because you're so close to God. And that's just a new hypothesis.
You think they're what?
Protecting your property because they know you're close to God.
Yeah, could be.
Because the things they protect Judy from are things that are very evil. A lot of it, they don't reveal what it is. So, now you have a lot of great content in your website. Let me share an idea for a podcasting topic. Simply reading the yearly timeline. It's already there. And those would be great podcasts. Let's say this. Watch this. See, I'm reading it while you're on the phone, and then you make comments. I think that'd be great. And,
well, you know, yeah. Kind of how it happened I'm not 100% sure of everything, but when I got this property and I walked around it, there was an area that I felt kind of spooked at, like I might have been being watched or something.
Oh, yeah.
This is the very, very beginning. It was like 2 or 3 years before Sasquatch started doing anything here. Linda was here, still with me, and she had not had the amnesia yet, but she I shot a coyote one night, and that coyote ended up being eaten by morning, and there's a big flattened out place and a big poop there. Okay?
Yeah.
That was before I seen them, and then somehow
was that the one you shot at?
Yep.
Was that the coyote you shot at because it was trying to get your goats?
No. It was anytime they're around and I can see them, I'll kill them.
Okay.
Because they will come in and try to kill the chickens and the goats. I actually believe one did kill my billy goat that I had here.
A coyote or a mountain lion?
Huh?
A coyote or a mountain lion?
I think it was a Bigfoot that killed the billy goat.
Wow, that doesn't sound like the ones that are mostly around your property. Maybe it was the rogue one with the bigger footprint.
Maybe. What happened is my billy goat just turned up missing, just boom, vanished. I can't tell you if somebody stole him.
How much would a billy goat weigh?
A couple hundred.
Okay, that would not be easy to carry away.
Well, it would be for a Bigfoot.
Right. And the Bigfoot could just step over.
He was a very protective billy goat. And if there was a Sasquatch there, he may have tried to face him down. And they could have just grabbed him by the horns and broke his neck and picked him up and walked off with him.
Right. Maybe they sensed that one was the leader and needed him to be taken out. But it is not normal for the usual Sasquatch around your property to be killing your animals.
It is normal?
No. It seems like they're more protective than that.
I know that my goats have, I can just tell, sometimes when they've been around, when the Bigfoots have been around, my goats act a little spookier. And I mean, my goats will be right there in the pen, and I know Bigfoots walk in there at night and leave tracks and stuff. And, you know.
So they act more spooked.
They really don't bother my goats.
They
might take a chicken occasionally.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How do you replenish your chickens?
Well, usually each year, one or two hens go to set in, and they will sit and lay. they'll set a clutch of eggs, and they will hatch about anywhere from 6 to 8, maybe 10 chicks. And in that, they usually raise most of them. Okay.
Okay.
Sometimes you lose a baby or two. And so you kind of have to really try to protect these baby chicks. So the other thing is like, well, I had one hen just turn up missing here. Albert noticed she was gone. She's been gone for about 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And the other thing is okay, this other hen laid a bunch of eggs, and she had like 7 babies. Okay, 7 chicks.
Wow.
She hatched, and we had it planned to go to the Dalles that next day, and Alan seen that she had the chicks that day and was with them. And then Sherry and I went to the Dalles, and we stopped at Coastal, and I bought 6 baby chicks. They were expensive, about $5.45 each. And I bought 6 of them, and I put them under this hen that night. And she got up in the morning, and instead of 7 chicks, she's got 11.
Oh.
Or 13, what is it? 13? Yeah. And then about 2 or 3 weeks later, she lost one of her own black hens. These other ones are all yellow, and they're a different breed. They're called Delawares, and they're a meat and egg chicken both, you know.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to use a light bulb or anything, you know what I'm saying?
Right, that's a good thinking.
And the hen ends up she can't tell. And she ends up teaching them and taking care of them. And like today's kind of cold and windy, she'll be out there with the chicks. And if she thinks it's too cold, she'll squat down, and they'll all scoot in underneath her feathers, in under her wings and places, you know.
How many chickens like her do you have? And how did you pick her for this leadership role?
Well, just because she had chicks.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that she had babies elected her for the job.
Yeah, okay.
Because she's teaching these other babies, and you just, if you can time it right soon enough and get the babies back in under her, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I ended up getting these babies in under her and I was moving babies around and her around because she wasn't in a good place. She wasn't sitting on the eggs like she should have been, and I put her over by the egg. And I don't know if she thought more eggs hatched or what, because I put her over by those eggs, the eggs that didn't hatch. And so went ahead and
I have an idea. What if the usual Bigfoot people that sometimes are going through there, what if they didn't take your chickens? What if it was a rogue one? Because if these family group is protecting your property and usually don't take the animals, why would they do that once in a while knowing that hurts you? So what do you bet a rogue one does it occasionally? And how does a rogue one get through there when the others are being watchful?
Well, the rogue one was way, way bigger. He's one with the 23-inch track.
Right.
The biggest track the other ones had were about 19. I thought one might have been 21, but anyway.
We've heard that, well, giants of the Bible could get pretty tall. So,
oh, yeah.
So some of these rogue Bigfoot, why not? Maybe there's some outliers where they're really big and yet very rare. But if a footprint is that big, most people are probably not going to identify it as a footprint.
You know, when I saw that first footprint and walked past it, I had to stop and back up and say, I mean, I looked down and I saw it, and I just kept walking past it. And I stopped about two steps later and said, what? What did I see? I can't believe that. And I went back and looked at it and looked, and I, my goodness. So then I went back and got about two mixes and mixed them up and filled in about two-thirds of the track, and I had to go back and get another mix and another, you know, measure of plaster Paris, and finished one side of it, and then I had to go back and mix up more plaster and get the rest of the toes in it. And then it was getting dark and I was getting spooked, because here's this monstrous Bigfoot down there. And I had a couple of chunks of 2x4 and a piece of plywood that was old. And I put it over the top to protect the track. And then I took a bunch of leaves and threw over the boards and got out of there. And it was dark by then. And I was pretty spooked.
You don't get spooked very easily, do you? Not anymore.
No.
So for you to get spooked, that means a lot.
Well, yeah, he's a giant. I mean, he was, you know.
Yeah. And
I heard something the other day. And I think it was somebody was talking about an angel, I think. Or they were talking about a giant, but I thought they were talking about an angel. And they said, and I'm not talking like 15, 18 feet. He said, I'm talking like 28 feet.
Okay.
So
I believe an angel could leave footprints, because I believe when they're in our realm, they are physical. I mean, they walk the streets in the Bible.
Yeah.
In Sodom and Gomorrah. The fallen angels had children with human women, so that's physical.
Yeah. Certain type of angels can do that, from my understanding. But there's have you ever, you know what a dog man is?
Yeah, well, pretty. I have ideas, and I've heard about it quite a bit.
Yeah, there's a show that out there that's just about all about dog men. And this one guy had killed a dog man, and he went out hunting for him. And if this is the right one, I might have two different ones mixed up. But he and three or four other guys went out, and they ran into about five dog men. And
five.
One guy was shooting a 416, which is a big, big rifle. Okay.
Okay.
Kill moose and grizzly bear and stuff like that. And but you kill moose with a 30-06 too. But anyway, my point is, they shot one with that. Oops, Sherry's beeping in. I'll have to get her later. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Let me think here for a second. He and this other friend, okay, I shot a bunch of these dog men, and the dog men were coming back to get him. One was, okay?
Wow.
And he had a friend from Canada, and I think he was in Colorado or something. She is calling back again. Can you hang on? And
yeah.
If I lose you, I'll call you right back, okay?
Yeah, okay. Well, we don't want to do this to you, but we're going to close this one out for now. Wyman sure had a lot of good things to share as we plan for future podcasts, and I like how topics for discussion kept coming up as we were planning. Go to the next episode to continue hearing Wyman talk about what he had learned about an angel, dogman, battle, and more sharing as we continue to plan and discuss the oddities of the Bigfoot phenomenon.